The words of Jesus, the light of the world, from Matthew chapter 5, begin with verse 13. Jesus tells us, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." This is the word of our Lord. In the name of Jesus, the light of the world, fellow brothers and sisters called to reflect his light. The schedule of a pastor is a little bit different from most people. If you haven't noticed, I work every weekend and most major holidays. That means that my day off is a little bit different than most people. My day off is not on Saturday or Sunday. My day off is on Monday. So perhaps I am the only person in this room on Sunday night saying, "Wow, Monday's almost here. Isn't that great?" A little bit different. Well, so sometimes what I like to do to relax on Sunday evening is I like to go to my basement, sit in my couch, and watch a movie and eat popcorn. I am a simple man. It wasn't too long ago that I had this wonderful plan to do that on a Sunday evening. And I went downstairs with my bowl of popcorn anticipating my movie watching time, and I went to turn on the lamp. The lamp that I had throughout my dormitory days in college and the seminary, my internship vicar year in Tennessee, throughout all the time I've been out here in Virginia. I went to turn on the lamp and it didn't turn on. It didn't give any light. And I tried to change the light bulb and it still didn't work. Yes, it was plugged in. It didn't work. It didn't work. And I was sad. The lamp was dead. And then on top of it, I sat down to console myself over the death of my lamp by eating some popcorn, and the first kernels went into my mouth, and there was something wrong. Oh, it looked like popcorn. It was the same shape as popcorn. I had forgot to put salt on it. Have you ever had popcorn without salt? It just doesn't really work. You need the salt to get tasty. So there I am, sitting in the dark with no salt. It was a bad deal, and I didn't like it at all. I like light. I like salt. And so does Jesus. He used those illustrations, didn't he, just a moment or two ago. He calls himself the light of the world and then goes on to say that you are that too because you're connected to me. What does that mean? Well, he shines on us, but then we are to reflect him. We do that as we put our agenda in line with his. We do that as we speak what he'd have us speak to one another or to the world around us. We do that as we think as he would have us think. Love as he would have us love. And then in a dark world, it's like we're sharing the light of Jesus so people can know him. But he also says you are the salt of the earth. And when we think of salt and its use, we probably think of it in 2017 like how I think of it with popcorn. It's something you need on there to give it a little taste. But in Jesus' day, salt was way more important and necessary than just a seasoning ingredient. Salt could mean life or death. Because 2,000 years ago, they didn't have refrigerators in their homes like you do. And so to preserve meat, especially in some parts of the world, meat that you would hope would get you through the winter, you rubbed it with salt. And you'd kick that salt all over the meat. Sometimes you'd even kind of rub it into the meat. And that meat would keep your food from spoiling, which in turn would keep you alive. Salt, in many places, was crucial to life. And it was so important and so revered and so cherished that people would trade gold and silver at times for salt. Governments used it as currency. In fact, Roman soldiers would get a monthly stipend of salt. The fancy Latin word that they used to describe that was salarium, which is where you get your English word salary from. Your salt that you get each month to live. That's how vital it was. So Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. What is he saying? Well, he's saying that you and I, in a sense, are the reason this earth is still going on. No, we're not the ones who hold this earth in its gravitational orbit. We're not the ones who created or sustained it like God does, but the reason that he hasn't judged it already is because he has a mission, a purpose for you and I to share the one thing that can preserve souls, people, from eternal death, the Word. So, we are here, and what are we to do? We share the Word of God, which creates faith, which preserves faith. We live as God would have us live in the Word of God. We love one another. We love Him. And we show it and share it in the way that we think, in the way that we act, in the way that we speak, in the way that we spend our money, in the way that we spend our time, in the way that we use our talents. And as we do that, we are like the salt of the world, preserving and rescuing people through God's power. Oh, doesn't that sound nice? I think it does. The problem is, I don't always feel so salty. Maybe you don't either. When we use the word salty, it usually kind of means a way of speaking that is perhaps not so nice. But when we're talking about salty living here, it means living as God would have us, as the salt of the world. And verse 13 is fairly convicting. If the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled by men. That verse is convicting, perhaps, as we look into our hearts and minds, and we don't always see the light of Christ shining. And we sing, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine," but ooh, there's some dark thoughts that go through the mind, aren't there? Thoughts that you do not want anyone else in this room knowing, much less a holy God. There are some dark actions that you've done, or at least wanted to do, and me too. And there are dark motives that take place, selfish motives. In fact, you might be absolutely shocked by your own selfishness and depth and capacity for sin. When you look in your heart or you think about what you have done that you did not want to do and what you wanted to do that you never did. And instead of being the light of the world and the salt of the earth, you might think, well, it rots. My heart rots. My mind rots. My words are rotten sometimes. And God is saying, if that's the way that you are, Christians, then you're not really good for anything. If the same way that you speak is the way that everyone else in the world who doesn't know me speaks, what do you think you're here for? If the same things that you post on Facebook or the arguments that you have with each other, even if you think it's over some moral right, is the same thing as everyone else, don't you know that you have no purpose If the backbiting and bickering that goes on in your home is just like any other home, if you watch hours of TV and movie filled with nothing but violence and profanity, and you don't even kind of sense that maybe something is up, maybe you're losing your saltiness, and maybe you're losing me. Ooh. And I think, oh Lord, I've had a lot of days where I haven't been as salty as I should be, and even though you all pay me to be salty and share the Word of God, it is a scary place out there, isn't it? Not everyone wants to hear what I have, what God has to say. And I don't always want to let my light shine. I want to be liked. And that's not always going to happen if I do what Jesus is telling me to do right here, and you either. It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Ouch! Oh, wow, that's terrifying thoughts. You know that lamp that I mentioned at the beginning of the sermon? It doesn't have any intrinsic value, really. It's not a Tiffany lamp or anything. It's just an old lamp. And when that didn't work, well, it's currently at the Prince William landfill. I didn't save it. Just for nostalgia. And when salt isn't salty anymore, you get rid of it. Or maybe you think about that one little spice jar that you bought for that one recipe that needed it 5 years ago, and then you stuck it up in the back of the cabinet, and then you find it, and you open it up, and you realize, this isn't good for anything anymore. What do you do? Do you put it on your mantle? Just to remind you of the recipe. No! You throw it away, and God says, if you're not going to be salty as I would have you be, then you don't have a purpose. Woo. Wow. Kind of cuts through the mission of our life, doesn't he? To help my heart and to help yours as you reflect upon your dark and non-salty moments, look again at verse 13, the first part. What does Jesus say? You are the salt of the earth. In verse 14, he says, you are the light of the world. He doesn't say, you may become the salt of the earth or the light of the world if you try hard enough. You may save yourself from being thrown out and trampled if you follow the 12 steps of good living, the 9 steps of proper thinking. He says, no. To be who you are, I did that. And this is what happened. Jesus Christ came to this dark world, and he knew about my darkness and yours too. And he went through it, and he lived perfectly. Everything. And then he preserved me and you. He covered us not with salt, but with his perfect life. And he preserved us and cleansed us with his holy blood on the cross. So that even though our sins are like rotting refuse in his sight, and even though I deserve to be thrown out and trampled by a holy God because of my unholiness, he says, I will not let that happen. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be as white as snow. And I will preserve you from the fires of hell, as his promise to me and you too. And that's what he's done. You are forgiven. You are loved. Even the darkest of your sins, they're forgiven too. Now Jesus is telling you, rejoice. Be, act as I have already made you. And that's wonderful. I am saved, I am salt, I am light because of the light of the world in you too. And now, he says, you're not going to do this alone. You're going to be into my word, and I will work through you. And I will change the way you think, and I will change the way you act. I will change the way you think about yourself. You are mine, my chosen people, my royal priesthood, as he said in our second reading. You're mine. And I have great things for you to do. You now will be my light to the world. And I will empower you to do what you cannot on your own. And that is good news because this mission seems pretty big. He said, you are the light of the world. It would have seemed probably more reasonable if he said, you are the light of the Tri-County area, or you are the light of a good mile or so. But he says, you are the light of the world. And how amazing that must have sounded, and shocking and even scary to the people he was talking to 2,000 years ago. They were sitting around a lake in Galilee, out in the middle of nowhere. Galilee was not the middle of the world. And he is saying to them, you will be the light of the world. Well, how is that going to happen? That sounds pretty intimidating. It happens one person at a time, one little Christ, one little light bearer at a time, sharing his light with others. It happens as you individually do that. That's what he did in the Christian church. One Christian at a time, sharing their light, changed the world. The Roman government, who ruled most of the world, saw it. They'd see these Christians and they'd say, look how they love one another, even when we're going to be throwing them into the gladiator games or burning them at the stake. They love one another, and it changed the world. One person at a time. It happened about 500 years ago. As some little German monk out in the middle of nowhere called Wittenberg, who had a habit of nailing announcements to church doors, shared the word. And it changed the world. And it happens through you and through me, one person at a time. How are you going to share the light with the world? How are you going to change the world? Well, you won't, but God will. And when you look at the major changes that took place, even in social movements in the world, it can be usually traced back to Christians living their faith one person at a time. Why don't we have slavery anymore in this country? It really traces back to Christians in the Word who said, I don't think we should treat each other like that, and living their faith. And that's what God will do in you and through you. And if you're wondering about where you should start, maybe your own home. Is there a way you could shine your light today in how you speak to someone else who might be there, or to the person who lives next to your home, your neighbor? Perhaps today you're not going to say that thing that you really wanted to say. You're going to show the light of Jesus to them. Children, perhaps you know that your parents have it coming because they're not perfect. And you have all kinds of evidence for that. But maybe today you're going to let the light of Christ shine, and you're going to forgive them, and you're going to love them because they need it. And maybe tomorrow you really are having some difficulty with someone else at work, but you're going to let the light shine. You're going to be salty. And even if you can't be memorizing and reciting Bible passages at your cubicle, you can show what a Christian is at work. Or maybe by yourself tonight you will open up Scripture, pull out a passage and say, Lord, you know how much help I need. Take away the darkness and evil from my heart and mind and speak to me. And God says, here I am. One person at a time, this world is changing as God works through us. And it's going to change again as we bring offerings in there. And it looks so simple, but maybe through your offerings this morning, you will help fund a missionary to go somewhere where you cannot go. And someone in heaven will say, thank you. I am here because you helped someone share the word with me. Jesus found you from the darkness. He rescued you from slavery. He preserves you with his word this day and will every day until you see him in glory. May your light shine as you're salty today. Amen.